Ah, it's a Monday morning audible. Kim Bocamper, John Congemi with you. And post-game Super Bowl, John, all I can say is, man, what a game.
I'm exhausted. That was great to watch.
It came right down to the double zeros.
That's right.
Ball going into the end zone. Gronk up there going after
Nobody
it.
Nobody sure if it was caught or no. not. You know, you didn't know if you could celebrate if you're on the Eagles sideline.
No, it was I tell you what, it was whoever you wanted to win that football game, it was a from start to finish. It was a really fun game to watch.
It felt like a Big 12 game in college football because teams were going back and forth. Yep. Not a whole lot of defense was played, but then in the fourth quarter, the Eagles made a couple of big plays with their defensive line, getting to Tom Brady when they needed to, and made enough plays to get the win. But who would have thought you give the ball to Tom Brady at the end of the game, around 2 minutes, you give him almost two cracks at it.
Yep.
You're playing this scenario out in your head. How many times have we seen Tom Brady do this, especially in all five Super Bowl wins? It's come down to a game-winning drive. So you're thinking number six is on its way, but the Eagles prevailed.
Well, I'll tell you what. I went to the game, and whatever I did last week, I said, look, I think New England wins this game. I think they win by 10 points. I just feel like they've been there. They've done it. You know, it's become, you know, they don't get caught up in all the trappings of Super Bowl week and all that stuff. And I thought that Philadelphia, just from the standpoint of game experience in a game like that and everything that surrounds it, was going to get to them a little bit. And I thought New England was going to win handily. But, boy, you got to give Philadelphia a lot of credit. And Doug Peterson.
Wow.
Man, what I tell you what, how that guy can walk this morning.
No, he's got
those
rash.
stones that he's got hanging between his legs.
He's chafing.
Oh, my goodness. Well, What a you know, for a first time head coach in a Super Bowl against, you know, one of the great coaches of all time, and certainly from a big game standpoint, one of the great coaches of all time, to go out there and do what he did. Boy, I tell you, it shows the quality of what kind of a coach you. Not only that, but you lost your starting quarterback. Yeah. You're playing with your backup quarterback. Everything else that went on with that football team. And to get there, they were a wild card team. They were an underdog in every game they played during the postseason. And here they are now, the world champions. And hopefully they've got a city that's not smoldering to go back to.
Yeah, exactly. When they get there. Philadelphia fans celebrated. And they went over the top
a little bit
in the city of brotherly love. But what can you say about sticking to an aggressive game plan?
Yep.
I think that between Frank Reich and Doug Peterson and the offensive mindset of what they could do with that offensive line that could run the ball when they needed to run the ball, when they wanted to run the ball, and then go into that bag of tricks for the touchdown. Mm-hmm. I mean, just incredible play calling. It seemed like, you know, after defeating the Vikings with a really good defense, you come in against a New England defense that didn't give up a whole lot of points. I think they ranked fifth in giving up points, defensive scoring points, but they give up a lot of yards.
Yep.
And it seemed like once the dam broke and Philadelphia just started sticking it to them from the first quarter on, I don't think it was still late in the game, New England finally had a lead. So you have to credit the aggressive nature of the way that Doug Peterson called the game, going forward on fourth and one in your own territory, calling the pass from a tight end throwing to your quarterback for a touchdown. He did all the things necessary. He actually beat New England at their game. You know, New England's the team that goes for it with Brady and Belichick and rolls the dice. You know, they kind of beat teams down that way, taking advantage. Philadelphia did it to New England.
Well, you go back 2 weeks ago, New England, Jacksonville. Jacksonville
jumps
on top of them and then sit on it at the end of the half, right? Got some time left. And they
minute decided, over a minute.
Let's just let the clock run out. And then in the second half, their play calling got, you know, give it to Fournette up the middle,
Couldn't convert on third down.
Third and eight, third and seven, third and nine.
Right.
And these guys, Philadelphia, just the opposite. No. We got our foot in their throat, and we're going to score. Squeeze it, and we're going to keep going at you. And look, I think everybody that's going to face New England going forward, or everyone that's faced New England and end up on the short side of the stick, said, man, I wish I'd have taken that approach, because that's, you know, everyone's so afraid of New England in the second half. They feel like they've got to kind of get in a bunker mentality. You know, let's just kind of hang on and get through this thing. Whereas Philadelphia, I think, came out and said, no. We're going to go out and we're going to win this game in the second half.
New England scored 21 points in the second half. They came out and scored 14 points in the third quarter and went right down the field. And you're going, oh, man, I've seen this movie too many times. But, you know, give the Eagles credit. They were 2-for-2 on fourth down. They were 10 of 16 on fourth down. They weren't gimme. They weren't chip shot third down opportunities. Foles retreated in the pocket, bought some time sometimes outside of the pocket, extended plays, found receivers, and those guys were getting open. Yep. You know, the Philadelphia Eagle receivers were getting open, and they did a great job on third down, and they kept the offense on the field enough, even though to withstand all the points New England scored in the second half, to score points of their own.
And what about Foles? I mean the way that he
got
played
some
that game.
To him.
And here's a guy that, you know, I think what week 14 is when Carson Wentz went down. So you got two you got the rest of that game, two regular season games, and then you're right into the playoffs. And this guy hasn't flinched. And you know, it shows you the value of having a real
quality
quarterback behind you, a guy that's been a starter, won games, done that you can rely on. And, as much as Carson Wentz, you know, what he did all year, there's no question right there. Nick Foles, he's the man of the hour. He may be the man of the century in Philadelphia right now.
Wait, you know what? What have you done for me lately? Yeah. He's done a lot.
They might be pushing Rocky off the
steps. Where's the statue?
They might be pushing Rocky off the steps and putting Nick Foles up there.
Give me Nick Foles up there. And what do you think Carson Wentz is doing on the sideline?
Yeah.
He's going, man, this was my team.
Well the other thing I'm thinking watching, every time I show Carson Wentz, he goes, well, maybe it wasn't me. Maybe it was those guys.
The offensive line, the running backs, the wide receivers.
Yeah.
Whatever happened, you know, you got to give all credit to that entire team because it was a team effort.
Yeah.
The offensive line did a great job. The three-headed backs. How about Clement coming in?
Yeah.
Along with Blunt and Ajayi, the way they were able to be aggressive running the football, protecting the football.
Yeah.
And then the wide receivers. Alshon Jeffries got open at will in the first half. Good adjustment by New England.
Yeah.
You know, changing around their secondary in the second half, but you have to give credit to the running game and that offensive line. I will say, Bo, there might have been, if that was a regular season game, there might have been 6 to 10 holding
calls
going both sides of the football. I'm kind of glad, as we talked about before the show, kind of glad they let him play, but there was holding all over the field.
Look, I think it was one of those games. And look, for me, I'll take it.
Me too. You know, it was fun.
Let him play.
It was fun.
Let him play.
Yeah.
And there was no more. There, you know, I think early in the game, they showed a little game in the center, and he blocks his guy and they go, look how he takes another guy. Well, he literally wrapped his arm around him like this and is holding him off. And I'm going, that looks a lot like holding to me.
Usually it's
a holding.
But
they didn't call it an ace, so that's fine. You know, it's, it was a, there was some, but the other thing, John, clean game, one punt, very few penalties in the game. Penalties didn't determine whether you won or lost. There was a couple calls on the touchdowns and catches, and was it and wasn't it. And I think they made the right decision on both those calls, at least from my mind. And I know Collinsworth and Al Michaels were trying to
turn it
the other way. But I kept watching going, I don't know that I see it the way you see it.
Well, the first one with Ertz, he definitely was a runner.
Yes.
You know, he wasn't a
he
pass
took two
catcher.
Steps.
He took almost three.
Yeah.
You know, so he was a runner. And if they would have overturned that, that was completely different than the Jesse James one in Pittsburgh against New England. Okay.
Yeah.
The Clement catch, you could make an argument, but I still
that's
sided
a hard
with
argument
the catch.
That's
only
a hard...
because he pinned it.
Yeah.
He had it, 2 feet, and then it bobbled, but he secured
but he still
it to the
secured
ground.
It, yeah.
So I think the officials for once got it right. The NFL got it right because they're talking, you know, with
back
the
in New York. Yeah.
So I think they got it right on this one. But they have to change the rule. They have to adjust the language, the way a catch is a catch. When you become a runner, do you have to break the plane?
Well, it's
something.
John, to me, it's too hard. It's even too hard to put that in front of the rules officials in New York that are making the decision because it's so much. At some point, human nature's got to take in. A human element's got to go in there. And you can't see when you got to sit there. And I don't know how many times they showed it. I'm not talking about the Ertz touchdown. I'm talking about the other one.
Clement.
Because I thought the Ertz touchdown.
Was a
once
touchdown.
You saw that he ran, it was just ball up. You already crossed the goal line.
And he caught
not
it.
A big,
and he caught it.
It. Yeah. But the other one, you know, when you they must have shown that replay, 15 times?
Easily.
20 times? And you still don't know, and it could go one way or another.
Right.
When you get to that point, then the rules need to be adjusted.
Right.
There needs to be clarification there. Because if those guys are sitting there, the guys that know the rules, the guys that wrote the rules, the guys that teach the rules, the guys that are in charge of, you know, demanding those guys call the rules, when they can't figure it out, how do you expect the guys in the field to make those calls and be right or wrong on the thing. It's just too much.
I just think, when going back to that call against the Steelers, you're a pass catcher, yes.
Yeah.
But when you're breaking the plane, it's just like a running back. When that ball breaks the plane, it should almost, the green light should go on and say, that's a touchdown.
Yeah.
Now, when you're securing a catch in the end zone, you just have to go through, secure it through the catch. But a catch is a catch.
Yeah.
If you have possession, you hold it to the ground. As long as the ground doesn't allow you to catch the football, it should be a catch.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Hey, let's go through a couple things here.
Sure.
Certainly, there's going to be a lot of conversation, John, after this game about, okay, hey, the Philly did it. How did the Dolphins get to that point?
Right.
And, you always, to me, I don't know about you, but always to me, I look at the team that won the Super Bowl and say, what's the difference between the Dolphins and where that team is? What does this team need to get there? And, John, after watching the Philadelphia Eagles in that game yesterday, are you feeling like the Dolphins are further away or closer than maybe you thought? Because that game yesterday almost kind of took New England out of the picture now. It says, hey, there's a little game. There's a little game plan
on
there
Philly.
Yeah. And puts it on Philly and a team that they really did a lot of really good things all season long.
Well, I think the Dolphins are further away than closer to what Philly is right now, only because you take a look, you have a backup quarterback who's played at a high level in the National Football League, but comes in and it's a seamless transition. The offense doesn't change. The way you throw the ball, the way you call plays doesn't change. And I think really, you hear so much about the run-pass option, those RPOs that everybody talks about in college football now with Philly in the pros. And I think Kansas City, to a certain extent, does a lot of that too. It opens up the middle of the field for slot receivers, for tight ends, for wideouts just coming in and settling in a zone. Because everybody freezes.
Yeah.
Everybody freezes as linebackers, as defensive pass rushers. Everybody's got to kind of say, wait a minute, it might be a run. And I think that gives an advantage to teams that are able to face zone teams on defense, because big bodies are just sitting in holes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're able to make easy completions, and it's right in front of the quarterback. It's not outside the numbers where you have to be accurate, you have to have a strong arm. You can manage a game and go down the field. Philadelphia, a couple of times, three plays, and they were on the New England Patriots 30-yard line.
Chunks.
And it was easy.
And New England was coming
stuff.
Back and doing the same thing.
Exactly.
Right?
Maybe a little different.
A different way of doing it, but still
same
production.
Yes.
Same. The other thing, John, that it really, as I'm watching that game, and we're going to get to some of these questions here a little bit before we go. To me, it really magnified the shortcoming of this Dolphin football team from a tight end standpoint. That game was decided, was going to be decided one way or another by the tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be Ertz with the big guy and then once Gronk in the second half started becoming Gronk, you said, well, look, you know they're going to go to him.
Well, Brady,
the majority of time. Yeah.
He was off early.
Yeah.
He did not throw the football very well. He had a lot of quackers out there.
Yeah.
He was not locating the football like a future Hall of Famer does. But when he turned that around in the second half, it seemed like Gronk took over on that one drive right down
the
middle.
But you look at it, I think the tight ends just played such an integral part in that game. And John, I look at our roster and
we don't
have that guy. We don't have that. Look, I like Marquise Gray. I like Anthony Fasano.
Do we have three backs?
Jerry Thomas,
Can we roll three backs?
Well, not right now.
Not right now.
Not
you
right
can't.
Now.
Both of those teams can roll three running backs in any situation. Does not matter.
Yep.
So we're saying, are we closer? Or are we farther away?
Yep.
There's two glaring positions, if you're looking at Philly, and you could even include New England, we're farther away in those two positions.
Yeah, I'm with you. So this Jay Ajayi obviously gets his look, and good for Jay Ajayi.
Yeah.
I had a good relationship with Jay when he was down here, and I know it was kind of a acrimonious split that sent him up there. But look, good guy, nice to see him win. But he had this comment, a Twitter comment after the game. They may have tried to discredit you, discount you, throw dirt on your name. None of it matters now. Legacies last forever. Funny how they were gassed over journalistic. Look at me now. So obviously, a little shot at the Dolphins, getting rid of them. And I hold any stock in that? Not a whole lot. I think anytime you're drafted by a team and they send you somewhere, you're going to have a bone to pick with
them.
Absolutely. And it's only human nature. And, good for him. He won a Super Bowl. I hope that he can enjoy you know, hoisting a Lombardi trophy and enjoying the parade and all that stuff and forget about what, you know, what was behind it, because, you know, enjoy what you got. I mean, you got it. You got there. You know, if I was you right now, I'd go, hey, thanks to Dolphins.
Yeah.
I wasn't gonna a Lombardi trophy there. I got one now.
Yeah, he said, you know, you got gassed over journalism or whatever he wanted to say. I just think
I misread that. So that's it, gassed over journalism. I got you. Okay.
You know, so
missed it on that one.
That's okay. I mean, everybody, you said it perfectly. Yeah. You're going to be bitter when you're drafted by a team. You feel like that's your team.
Yeah.
And when you get jettisoned away for reasons that you know, this organization felt like were detrimental to the team, you're going to have a bone to pick if you feel otherwise. But, you know, last laugh, and he's in the Super Bowl, and he's going to get a ring, and he's going to be a champion forever. Yep. So, you know, good for Jay Ajayi. He did really well when he was a member of the Miami Dolphins, and he contributed to a Super Bowl victory and being world champs for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep, no doubt. So, look, I got no problem with what Jay Ajayi tweeted out, and I understand how – but you know what? I've always said there's two sides to every coin.
Probably a third side
of that coin too. But and look, and nobody really, only the guys that are in those rooms know exactly what the reasons were, and he knows the reason why. And so, but it is what it is. I just congratulate him for being a world champion. I got no bone to pick with him. From Ignacio Kaleska, which isn't his real name. On one of these days, he's going to give it to me. Hey, boy, after seeing a team like Philly put it together, how much confidence does this front office give you that they can duplicate that success? Look, I know people are taking shots at this front office right now, but I look at back, John, I can't help but look at the past two drafts
and see
four or five guys, you know, from each draft being productive players and second-year guys coming on like Kenyon Drake and playing better. And looking at the draft last year where you got Charles Harris and you got Gottschalk,
defense,
you got guys
tackles,
like that.
Yeah.
You got the tackles. You got Vincent
Taylor.
You got Tank. You got Jesse Davis.
Right.
You got Chase Allen, two free agents. So if you can have another draft with that kind of production, I think we're moving in that direction. And I think we're moving in the direction of getting guys that fit the image of what Adam Gase wants for his football team. So I think if they can go through another draft,
It'll clear up some question marks in terms of getting more talent. Because as your starting lineup goes along, the Dolphins are, you know, you take a look at it, it looks fairly good. But it's the depth. It's building depth. And that's how you do it. You got to do it through the draft. You have to do it through, you know, free agency. You have to do it through undrafted guys that you're going to be able to pick up to spell guys. And that level of, I guess, efficiency doesn't fall off as much. You look at the teams that are in the playoffs. You look at the teams that make it through the playoffs to get to last night. And then you look at the world champs.
Yeah.
They've got that.
Yeah. You know, and you've got to be a team. There are certain things that the front office has to do. There are certain things the coaches have to do. But there's also things the players have to do.
Oh, absolutely.
Players have to buy in. And when I say buy in, it's, you know what, I'm not going to be late for a meeting. I'm not going to be the guy that runs off the field first. I'm not going to be the guy that makes a stupid penalty after we've just completed a pass for 35 yards that puts us in the red zone. And then now next thing you know, we're 60 yards back because we got
a
15-yard penalty and a spot, you know, that something like that. You know, you've got to be willing to kind of check your emotions and do what you need to do to play, because you look at Philadelphia. Philadelphia had a lot of parts go in and out of that football team over the course of the season, and guys came in, did their job. Alshon Jeffries came in, struggled early on. And I know I read some comments earlier where,
why
did we get this guy? Well, you know, when he finally got going, I think you saw last night why they got this
big
guy.
Big body, can catch the football, go over the top of defensive backs. So and you take a look at Blunt. I'm not so sure everybody was on board to say, well, he's going to be the guy, the bell cow of the backfield, but he didn't have to be. As the season went along, you had guys, you know, contribute behind that offensive line.
Yeah, but look at those guys, John. Even that running back position. I know they got Jay Ajayi, and I know they got like LeGarrette Blount, and they got
Clement.
But if you look at their numbers yesterday, none of the numbers jump out. But when you look at
together.
The production of that position,
put them all together.
You look at the production of that position with those three guys, and you're probably looking at about
1,500 yards.
Well, just in the game yesterday, you're probably looking at what 180 yards maybe out of that running back position. And so that's what you look at. And that's kind of the thing I was talking about with, you know, after he left, they said, well, yeah, well, look, you traded Jay Ajayi, but you had Damian Williams and you had Kenyon Drake, and put those two together, and you're getting pretty good production out of running back. But
and you're averaging close to 8 yards per
carry. Yeah. So, yeah, Facebook, Joshua Dupre, Bo, can we close the gap in the offseason and become relevant? Yeah, look, I think when you talk about relevant, I don't think this team's far away from being relevant.
No.
You know, from being a Super Bowl champion. Yeah, I think the distance there is a little bit more a little bit more of a stretch. But look, the other thing that I look at is, you know, if you can go out and win a division, if you can get a bye week, if you can get a bye game, a bye that first week out, you're one game away from a trip to the championship game and one game away from a Super Bowl. That should be your goal going into a season. Hey, our goal this season is to win the division, get a bye, and then take a run at a Super Bowl every year.
And in order to do that, you have to take the microscope off of New England. You better put it squarely on the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets, because if you do not go 3-1 or 4-0 within the division with those two games, the Miami Dolphins will not get to where you need to get to until that is solved.
You split with New England this year, and you let the bottom fall out of the other two teams.
Right.
You know? So... Joey Bagger, hey guys, what's the one position we need that would make the biggest difference next year? Offensive line, tight end, or linebacker? Well, based on last night's game,
you could spin the wheel on that.
You could spin the wheel on that, but based on what I saw last night on both sides of the team,
tight end.
You know, in this league, you got to have that tight end. And John, week after week after week after week, you go out and you see tight ends that are making big differences more so now than maybe any time in the history of the National Football League, I think, are tight ends that as relevant as they are right now.
You're right. And you have to be able to stretch the field with those guys, as well as move them around and be able to crack back, use them as blocking, you know, coming back and sealing an end so you can use that outside zone. Right. You got to be able to motion those guys across the formation to be able to get them easy passes on, in the flat, get them down the rail sometimes on a undersized corner or a linebacker. Yeah, they can run and they can catch. And they can do a lot of things formationally with those big tight ends.
We saw Gronk yesterday, and we saw Zach Ertz yesterday. Both of them played a monstrous role in that football game. I can only recall one situation where they showed one of them block, and that was Gronk on that little – he came inside.
And chipped
a linebacker or something. Oh, there's a blockbuster. Other than that, no one's talking about their blocking.
I know.
No one's talking about they're talking about their getting downfield, making the plays, moving the chains, scoring touchdowns, throwing touchdowns, the whole thing.
How about Trey Burton? He made the biggest pass of the whole game. He's a tight end for Philly. He threw a dime to Foles in the end zone on a fourth down play. Yeah. I mean, what a call.
Yeah, no, good stuff. But yeah, I think linebacker, tight end, offensive line, all important. If I was to prioritize those three positions, I'd go tight end, linebacker, O-line.
Yes. Play Wheel of Fortune, and that's how I'd end up too.
Yeah. Mary Porter. Brat is a sore loser. Who is that, Leon? Who's she talking about there?
You think Leon's even paying attention to the show?
Brady. It's the first time. I said I wasn't going to say anything about Leon. Today.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because we're a little shorthanded back there.
Well, he's doing a lot.
Jeff's still up in Minnesota, you know.
I see him playing.
But it's the first time I've ever seen Brady's name spelled
busy.
B-R-A-D-T. But so I was a little off there. I thought there was somebody out there. Anyway, Brady is a sore loser. He is a sore loser.
Just run off?
And as is Bill Belichick, two of the worst losers I've ever seen. So Brady just left the field, didn't shake hands with
Foles.
I
think you got to find Foles.
You got it. Look, if nobody else, it's kind of a quarterback thing, right?
Yeah.
You go over.
Especially him being, you know, future Hall of Famer. Right. He has 5 rings already.
Right.
This guy's been on the bench for most of the season.
Go and do the right thing.
Go over and appreciate his work because he played a hell of a game.
And then you've got Belichick Dodd. You know, he knows the cameras are on him. It's a national camera.
It must have been 100 people.
It's not some Joe Blow from Pawtucket or whatever, you know, with an iPhone trying to take. This is network TV.
Right.
And he's trying to dodge the cameras while he goes over to see the coach. Come on, man. So Brady is a sore loser when Cam Newton walked out of the field like the world was ending, but because it's Brady, no one wants to talk about it. No, I think people will talk about it. I read it in the paper today. I watched it when he went off the field, and I watched those. Look, maybe, you know, I hate to say it, but part of what makes them so good is their total disgust for losing and walking off the field that way, although it made them look like
it made them look less than
less than what you like to be.
You almost, if you're, you got to show it, but you don't want to see it.
Yeah,
you know, you could have, if they wouldn't have had a camera on Brady going off,
right?
No one would have said anything. Yeah. No one would have known.
Hey, look, he walks over, he shakes Nick Foles' hand, walks in the locker room, no big deal.
Exactly.
And if Belichick doesn't act like, you know, he's playing Frogger going to the middle of the field, then same thing. But you know, it is what it is. Ralph, I can tell you this, though. Having been there twice in a Super Bowl, the pain of losing that game is excruciating.
Yeah, it's not fun.
It's excruciating.
Losing a championship's not fun. I did that twice.
It is excruciating.
I think I went to quarterback, and then I hightailed it. Yeah, you know, if I saw anybody in my direction, it was fine.
Yeah. Hey, like I've said, and I'm sure you're probably the same way, you know, having gone and lost, I'd rather not go.
It's awful.
I'd rather not go than
you
than
just
do
made
it.
Me my stomach upset. Not a good feeling,
I know.
Man.
Ralph JJ, look what the Jags did this year. Hope the Miami Dolphins can do the same thing in 2018. I was going to say, what, get Tom Coughlin to come over?
You know? Absolutely, right?
Because if you don't think that Tom Coughlin's presence in Jacksonville
made
had
a
lot
difference.
To do with adding Doug Marrone, both on the same page, both the same mentality, then I think you're missing the boat on that thing. Plus, they've done a good job getting good players
and free agency
because they've always been in the top.
You got you know, how many cracks at the can and kicks at the can you want, right?
Well,
in the top five.
You can ask Cleveland about that. They
haven't done as good a job.
Okay, let's knock out the last couple of these before we get going. Anne-Marie Tidwell. If the Eagles are dumb enough to give up the MVP of the Super Bowl, then we should think about grabbing him up.
Well, he's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. Yeah, he's under contract.
Unless the Eagles are going to, you know, gift us back.
Yeah, wrap him up and trade him. But again, you know, here's what I'm concerned about, and we've seen it enough times with this football team and other football teams. other than maybe Bill Belichick, because he seems to know when just how much gas a guy has left in his tank. Look at James Harrison last night.
Right.
Put a lot of pressure on, did a lot of things in there.
Played over 50 snaps, I think.
I know Nick Foles is a hot guy now. I know if they put him out on the market, a lot of teams go on. But do you want another quarterback that was going to retire a couple years ago, probably only has 1 or 2 years left in him, or do you want to go out and draft a young kid that's got a 5 to 10 year window for you that may be your next guy? We don't know.
Well, and you have to take a look at the team that gets potentially a Nick Foles. You know, is that team set up to win a Super Bowl? Is that
you
team
said,
set up to make the playoffs?
You send Nick Foles to Cleveland, are they going to the Super Bowl next year?
Hell no.
Yeah, so it's that's one of those things that. But I don't think he's going. I don't think he's going anywhere because I think he's pretty.
He's under contract.
I think he's pretty contract friendly too.
And he came back. He was going to quit, right?
Yeah.
But he wanted to go play for Andy Reid.
Yeah.
That was the only guy.
Yeah.
Well, where do you think Doug Peterson came from?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you get an extension of Andy Reid. You have the same offense, basically. A lot of the similar terminology. I would suspect. So yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere, to be honest with you.
Yeah. The other thing, John, before we go, this last thing we'll get to, Hall of Fame inductees on Saturday, Ray Lewis, no doubter there, Randy Moss, no doubter, Terrell Owens, certainly from his output, from his production and everything he did. No argue with that, but his, you know, just him being Terrell Owens has kept him out of the Hall of Fame, but certainly deserving. Brian Dawkins, great player. Brian Urlacher, Bobby Bethard, who was with the Dolphins when I was drafted, really good friend and very, very happy for Bobby. Jerry Kramer from the from the Green Bay Packers, and to me, one of the great linebackers I've ever seen in my career, Robert Brazil.
He's pretty good.
Guy that didn't get as much credit as he deserved. Big, tall, strong, great player for the Houston Oilers. He gets into, so congratulations to all those guys. All of them are well-deserving. And that leads to the question from Derek Weaver on Facebook, why is Zach Thomas still not in the Hall of Fame? And I'll tell you, there's a good reason why Zach isn't in the Hall of Fame. Ray Lewis, And Brian Urlacher.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at Zach's career, Zach was always in the Pro Bowl. He was always stuck behind Junior, and he was stuck behind Ray Lewis. The early part of his career, he was, you know, Zach was right there.
Right.
I mean, Zach was, you know, you could argue Zach all you want with those guys, but it was those guys that always got the, you know.
Pub.
So he was, they're both going to the Pro Bowl. Zach wasn't, you know, and then Zach started going. So, I look.
I think you have to be patient with this. I think that if you match up what Zach has done in his career and you take a look at a guy like Brian Urlacher, it's probably very similar or even surpasses what he did on pretty good defensive teams.
Yeah.
So I think it's just patience. I think that time will tell, and I think Zach will get his reward.
You know, Zach could have been, I forget how many years Zach played, but you know, Zach could have been a guy that went to 8 or 9 Pro Bowls were it not for Junior Seau. For Junior Seau and Ray Lewis. Yeah. Instead, I think Zach went to what, maybe five Pro Bowls, which, believe me,
that's nothing
to sneeze at. But, you know, had it not been for those two guys, I said he may have been an 8-9-time Pro Bowler. And you put that onto your resume and certainly lifts you up into that category.
I agree with you.
Look, Zach Thomas, to me, you know, he'll be a Hall of Famer to me as long as I can remember and go forward and one of the classy guys out there and certainly a guy that would be deserving to have his bust up there with everyone else.
Patience.
In Canton.
It's coming. Yeah.
Well, look at Robert Brazil.
Exactly.
Robert Brazil.
Jerry Kramer.
They've been out for a long, long time.
Right.
And both those guys, great players. And look how long it took for them to get there. And I'm guarantee you, they're just as happy now as they would have been if they got it 10 years ago.
That's right.
You know, so anyway, John,
hey,
always
it,
a pleasure, my man.
Absolutely.
Good sitting here. And I know we kind of went long on the Super Bowl, but hey, that's what was there yesterday. And great game. Great to see Philadelphia win. Great to see New England not win. Great to see a little infighting up there in the up in Foxborough and who knows what and
that's
what's going on. And look, hopefully the Dolphins within the next 6 months can creep just ever closer to being a team that we can watch on Super Bowl Sunday. So, you know, that's what we're all hoping for. All right, it's been a pleasure being with you. We'll be back on Wednesday. Not sure what time, but we'll keep you up to date on exactly what time we're going to be on. Keep your phones handy and keep your devices on, and we'll pop up there at some time on Wednesday. That's going to do it for today. We'll see you next Wednesday. Take care. Take it easy.